First, the FAA has to figure out how to let them operate safely in that airspace. Dreamhammer is a company you may not have heard of. It makes software that controls many types of drones. Here with a progress report on the FAA, which just came out with a new report about how it's doing on drones, is Dreamhammer CEO Nelson Paez. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, so the FAA has a roadmap. What does it tell us about what's actually going on with respect to letting unmanned aerial vehicles into the airspace?
Well, we've been waiting for this roadmap for quite some time, and we're very, very excited about it. A lot of us in the industry have been working for years behind the scenes to help put something like this out. That gives us a future of how we can get unmanned systems to be safely integrated into national airspace.
So are they making progress?
Oh, absolutely. The roadmap just came out, I think, last week, it's a good way forward. It's a way that will allow us to be able to have what we call test sites to be able to test how unmanned vehicles will work into national airspace.
Now, drones, of course, come in all sizes. Some of them are literally the size of sparrows, but then there's others that are the size of small airliners. So what is the real difficulty? I imagine the bigger they are, the higher and faster they go, and the more they could interfere with manned aircraft.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Drones come in different sizes, and obviously, like you're saying, from small to very large, the size of like a Global Hawk, for example, which goes up to 60,000 feet. But the focus of the FAA right now is on the smaller drones that really affect airspace around up to like 1,400 feet. And so what we're trying to do is trying to get them to be in airspace for the purposes of commercial usage, not looking at passenger airlines and stuff like that, but really mostly for surveillance and stuff like that used for a lower airspace grade.
Sure. Something you could almost see, you know, you could read the writing on it in some cases if you're standing on the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always been for the purposes of commercializing the use of drones.
Okay, so your company, Dreamhammer, makes operating systems for drones. Tell us a little bit about what's involved there.
Yeah, it's very exciting stuff. You know, one of the things that we have found with drones is that they have been made for pretty much a single purpose, usually by a particular vendor, and it's a stovepipe, if you will, of technology. And so what we have done is something similar to, you know, like Windows, where you can have multiple applications talking to multiple different types of drones, and you're not stuck to a particular type of system.
So does your software run on things like the Northrop Grumman level or United, I think it's General Atomics, rather, or the two big drone makers in the United States for military purposes? Is that what we're talking about, or are you more, I mean, then there's the things you buy in a mall or somewhere in between?
That's a great question. So we provide for all of them. It's agnostic to any type of usage of drones. It's more of a, it's a commercial software product, so it's available to both government customers and it's available to commercial customers, so it can be used for smaller drones and make it very easy, ubiquitously used, or it could be used for, you know, the larger stuff like the Predator.
Now, I think people's concern about drones, and certainly the FAA's, of course, is not that they can fly, but that what happens when they hit something that they can't fly, another aircraft or a tower, for example. And the question I've always had is when a drone operator, we call them unmanned, but there's somebody is flying it, they're just not sitting in it. When they are operating a substantially sized unmanned aircraft, can they see what it sees? Is there a visual component screen so they can see where it's going?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to absolutely know where you're going because people are operating these drones. They are unmanned in the sense that there's nobody actually physically on the vehicle, but the ground control system, which is what, you know, software that we provide, is, you know, what allows the operator to fly the vehicle in the airspace. So, you know, one of the things that FAA is calling for is for the ability to have you know, sense and avoid. And follow CNS ATM standards, which is pretty much what you have to fly as a pilot in regulated airspace. So you have to follow those rules to be safe. And unmanned systems have to do the same thing.
Now, when you're piloting a plane, of course, a plane, any given aircraft has operational limits. You can't climb too steep or too fast or this or that, or it'll get out of control and crash. Does the software of drones prevent the pilot from directing it to do something that would cause it to lose its air buoyancy?
Yeah, and so that's a great question too. So the issue that the FAA is going to be solving with these test sites is to test a lot of different technologies to help manage the aircraft to do a lot of its own capability, either autonomous, which is fully autonomous, which means the aircraft has the ability to just follow a path, a mission plan, and be able to follow that mission plan according to the airspace rules that the FAA requires to fly in the airspace, or a semi-autonomous, or even just stick and rudder, which is how the Predator is flown. You literally have a pilot on the ground flying the vehicle in real time.
We're speaking with Nelson Paez. He's co-founder and CEO of Dreamhammer. And so how is the FAA conducting these tests? In other words, do they send a bunch of craft and people out to a desert somewhere and see what happens? Or?
No, right in the middle of Manhattan or D.C. That's a safer place. No, absolutely. The test sites actually were put in by the states. So the states have put in plans to the FAA so they can actually go through the process of having a safe area, which they have a COA, a certificate of authority, for them to be able to fly in airspace that is just cornered off for the purposes of testing drones and flying in their airspace to the rule sets that that the FAA will be requiring.
And when you look at the market for this, I guess there's a lot of agencies at the state and local level that are looking to get into this business. Do you see it mostly as a government demand ahead, that is non-federal government, state, local, municipal, county, or is there a big commercial interest in being able to fly unmanned aircraft?
Oh, there's a monstrous commercial interest. I honestly don't think any of this would have happened without a commercial interest. And the reason why is because think of drones and that kind of technology as apps on an iPhone, right? The technology is actually limited to the military purposes right now. But if you open up the aperture and you allowed developers to build drone technology for commercial purposes, you wouldn't be able to predict the types of apps that were built on top of an iPhone. And that's what we're looking for.
So is the FAA, from your knowledge, concerned strictly with the drones in the airspace, but this extends down to the qualifications of people operating them, the liabilities they have, the uses they put to them? How far is the testing going at this point?
Yes, that's a great point. That is part of this process, is dealing on the operator side, all the requirements that you need for that, as well as what you need in the air itself.
I mean, you could have a sleepy drone operator just as surely as you have a sleepy airplane operator.
Yeah, yes, you can. As a commercial company and everybody else who is providing this kind of technology, we want this to be safe and we want this to be able to be successful, as well as very, very easy to use. So what I believe is going to end up happening is, there are rules that you need on the air that will be applied to the ground, but we'll be able to put more safety precaution measures and autonomy into the software, into the systems that prevent these kind of accidents or whatever that would have happened if you normally had a sleepy operator who was performing operations on an unmanned system from the ground.
And the other aspect of this, of course, is the FAA has a lot of say over the safety of existing craft, and they inspect airliners and they make sure that parts that go into different aircraft are certified. Does it look like they're prepared to take on the safety of the equipment when it comes to what could multiply by millions of individual craft?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a requirement. We're going to have to be able to have safety for the manufacturing purposes. Anytime you put something in the air, you have to go through FAA certification, and that airworthiness is a critical component to the safety process and procedure. So I assume and we believe that it's going to be the same with drones.
Now, there are a lot of toy-like vehicles that people are clamoring to get and strapping their iPhones on them, set to video and this kind of thing. Do you believe that perhaps some of that could be shaken out as a result of having real commercial requirements when the FAA is finished with its work and Congress goes along?
I believe so. I think that they might even segregate that for consumer uses, like up to a certain height, let's say 400 feet, for example, which is where that is today. I think that they probably you know, won't overburden the administration with, you know, consumer toys, if you will. But if you're going above that air, up until the Class G airspace, you know, which is really a target zone for them, up to 1,400 feet or something, is where you have commercial drones being used for commercial purposes. So those ones, I think, would be more the targeted focus.
It sounds like a very interesting future. Nelson Paez is the co-founder and CEO of software manufacturer DreamHammer. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
And we'll post